Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, welcome back to the Mark Reardon Show. It's Hancock and Kelly. This is our last day here. No worries. Mark Reardon will be back with you tomorrow. He's got the Reardon Roundtable. He'll have Jane Duker, the ever quiet and quite reserved Jane Duker.
The docile Duker.
Yeah, the docile Duker. And State Representative Steve Butts, as well as local businessman Chris Goodson, who will be joining them for the Reardon Roundtable. And, John, last week, I got away. Went down to Branson, Missouri, down to Big Cedar and played some golf.
Yes.
And
imagine that.
Got up a little late in the week and was headed back to St. Louis. And about halfway between Branson and St. Louis, a long drive, by the way.
Lebanon. You're probably in Lebanon.
Maybe. But right before, what is that, Big City, Rolla? I wound up stopping to get a cup of coffee.
Uh-huh.
Not a big chain gas station, not a Quick Trip.
Yeah,
or
no, you're probably right there at Highway 28.
I'm thinking. Sounds right.
Mm-hmm.
And so there I am. I think, well, it's early. I'd like to get a cup of coffee. So
right.
I get a cup of coffee. I go out. I get hunkered into my car, and I take a sip of the coffee. And John, this coffee must have been boiling. It burnt my tongue.
That's the worst.
And so. It's been, what, 7-8 days since that I've did this. And today you and I had lunch together, and I had some hot peppers on my sandwich. I am still dealing with this burnt tongue. It is miserable. Ugh.
Maybe that's why your pool shooting wasn't quite. So I've got a secret to the hot coffee, because that's a bugaboo of mankind going back into the millennia. And so I have a patented system to avoid burning your mouth on coffee. Because there is, as you point out rightly, there's nothing worse than burning the inside of your mouth. It stays with you for days. So I am a coffee slurper.
Ugh.
It drives Georgianne crazy.
It would drive me
she
nuts.
She hates it.
And what do you sound like?
Well, so I've got for an example, I brought a cup of the 3 p.m. Kevin Killeen, fresh out of the...
Well, you know that's going to be mud.
Yeah, and so I've got it here. So what I do, it's a combination of blowing and recycling the coffee at the brim of the cup before you intake it, thereby cooling it down. And it sounds something like this. Here we go.
Oh, it's no wonder this poor lady.
But when you do that, what you're doing is you're cooling down the 3 p.m. Kevin Killeen so that it doesn't burn your mouth. And it's a safeguard. And my wife, it drives her crazy. She hates it to, like, leave the room when I start drinking coffee in the morning.
I don't blame her. Is it because of the coffee, or just leave the room when you come in?
Well, it could be.
But
that.
How about when, like, have you ever done this? You're at a restaurant. Remember those days we could do that?
Yeah.
And you order a pizza, and you got that terrible cheese we like here in St. Louis on there. What's it called?
Provel.
Yeah. And it's boiling hot, and it goes against the roof of your mouth.
Yeah, and you can't slurp.
And then you
pizza.
Have those shreds of skin that continue to, like, linger for the... that is what I am dealing with.
Yeah, it's not good.
What I am dealing with.
Well, I got one I'm dealing with right now.
Tell me.
It was Sunday. No, it was Friday, almost a week ago, Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
No, it was after the show. So we had done Charlie's show Friday. And I had a quick change. We taped our television show at noon.
Right.
So between 11 and noon, I got to take a shower and shave and get, you know, dressed, put a tie on, all that rigmarole. And I don't think I've ever done this before. I'm an old-fashioned razor blade guy.
Right.
So I use the old, you know, disposable razors and blah, blah, blah. I cut the corner of my mouth, you know, where you make the Joker thing. And Man, I mean, I didn't even notice it at the time. And in fact, we taped the whole show, and thank goodness I wasn't bleeding profusely on camera. But I noticed as soon as I started eating lunch, there was like blood on the bread. I'm thinking, what's going on?
Uh-oh.
Here? Yeah, not good. And so this thing, and to this day, that was a week ago tomorrow, I wake up in the morning, and as soon as I open my mouth, bam, the whole thing, it's like a geyser. It's like an oil field. And it's painful and it hurts
It's every morning when the scab I guess kind of opens
as soon as I open my mouth, which I do with quite frequently.
So breaking news, the lovely and talented Georgianne Hancock just texted me and says it seriously drives me crazy.
I know it does.
His slurping.
Yeah, but wouldn't she rather have that than have her poor husband burn his mouth?
No, I think she would rather you go out into the garage and drink your coffee and come back in later. You hear that, Georgianne? Oh, Lord, I'm with you, lady.
She's used to that
stuff. Hey, with this, you know, we're constantly washing our hands.
Yeah.
And you're putting alcohol on it's terrible for us. And we're not even into winter yet.
I know.
And that's one of my other pet peeves in the winter. I get really dry hands. I wash my hands all the time. Mm. So they'll be pink.
The regular Lady Macbeth over here.
Right. And so you start to get those little cracks on your fingers, you know, in the parts where your hand bends and stuff, or you get a paper cut, and those things linger forever.
Months.
And then the next thing you know, you're slicing up some lemons or you don't do any of that.
Lemons? What are you talking about, Kelly?
Georgianne does all that.
I have sliced many a lemon in my day.
Okay, so you're slicing lemons or maybe some onions and then it gets in there and then you're miserable. Ugh. That was me today eating lunch with you. The whole time I had that sour look on my face, it was because
I thought it was
me being a dummy, ordered hot peppers on our sandwich.
It was because of those unreal positional shots that somebody was
buddy,
making.
Buddy, I'm surprised you're even awake today. Folks, yesterday I played John Hancock in some pool, and this guy, he fancies himself a pool man, and he is. He grew up in a pool hall. And so yesterday, I battled him, I think, in the first round and lost by a couple of frames. So then we had a final frame. He had 10-7, just a couple, three.
Mm-hmm.
And then I came back and beat you. Well, this morning,
3-2.
You show up at the office, and it was like you had been practicing all evening. Did it hurt your ego that bad to lose to somebody who doesn't play pool?
I found my cueing. My cueing was off yesterday, late in the day. And I had it back today, and you know, it's all about position, Michael, as I try and explain to you. It's all about making the shot you got to make. But then you've got to line up. And usually the next three or four shots, if you kind of have your mind set into looking ahead three or four shots, then you can begin to manage the table in
such a
way.
All right, why don't you have another sip of coffee and quit bothering people with this stuff. So we spent a lot of time talking in the last hour about Rudy Giuliani's press conference and the allegations of fraud in the election. We're still waiting for the evidence to come forward from the president's team. We thought that we would get an election expert on today to kind of talk through the likelihood and the ways that voter fraud potentially could happen.
Yeah, and there may not be many people in the world who know these election systems as well as our next guest, Paul DiGregorio. He was the director of elections in St. Louis County. He's a senior executive now with one of the firms that conducts elections all over the world. He is very well acquainted with all of these systems, and we're going to ask him, you know, is it possible that these systems were engineered to create massive dislocation of vote counts? And I'm looking forward to that interview. Paul DiGregorio joins us next. It's Mike Kelly. It's John Hancock in for Mark Reardon. He's back tomorrow right here at this time on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
You're listening to The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on KMOX.
Hancock and Kelly here sitting in for Mark Reardon. And before we went to the break, you said that this next gentleman taught you about politics.
When I was a wee little lad.
So I finally have found out that, all the time people say to me, where does this guy come up with this crazy stuff? Now I can blame it all on DiGregorio, huh?
Well, Paul DiGregorio was a mentor of mine and a very, very special person in my life and his family. And I'm so happy that he's going to share his expertise with us this afternoon. He joins us on the Quiver River Electric guest line. He's a U.S. and international election expert. He's a former chair of the United States Election Assistance Commission. He's a former director of elections in St. Louis County. I dare say that not many people in this world know as much about elections and election security as our guest, Paul DiGregorio. Paul, how are you, partner?
Fine, John. Thanks for the intro. And yeah, I did meet you when you were 18, and I think that was a few years ago. But yeah, we've all done well since.
Yeah. So I want to start out with this Dominion voting systems. There's so much controversy about allegations that this system has been used to manipulate votes on a massive scale, either adding votes that didn't exist or deleting votes or actually switching votes from Trump to Biden. Is that possible?
It really is not possible. And I did watch this the news conference today, and I've followed a lot of what's gone on since the election in many of these allegations. And I'm very familiar with Dominion voting systems. In fact, all the voting system companies, and Dominion is a good company, and they have good products. And what people don't realize, and what people are not telling you, is that these voting devices, the software that's used on these voting devices, have to go through vigorous testing and certification procedures. I was on the Election Commission when we set these standards, and we certified these labs in this country to certify this equipment and to test the equipment. So it goes through great standards. Here in Missouri, the Missouri Secretary of State has to certify this equipment before it can be bought by any election official. That's true in all the states in America. So for allegations to be made that votes are being switched and that software is somehow algorithms are being made to switch votes, I mean, that's just not possible. And believe me, I've seen the code. I've talked to experts with the National Institutes for Standards and Technology in Washington that helped set these standards. And it's just, to me, it's just not possible.
And, you know, so you've got that sort of series of complaints that are out there. Another has to do with observers in polling count rooms, tabulation rooms. You've been in the tabulation room most of your adult life somewhere.
Yes.
What happens in a tabulation room?
Well, John and Mike, it so happened that for this election, I was in the tabulation room of St. Louis County live to 40 international observers from 12 countries who couldn't come here. So I went live to them to show exactly how it works in a tabulation room. And, you know, St. Louis County, really, they're one of the best in the whole country. They really are, and the way that they do things. And people would be amazed. And I hope that someday they can put this live where they can show how they can track everything. I mean, the ballots, they can track the results that come in on these cards and are put in the system. Now, St. Louis County does it great. Three counties in Georgia really screwed up by not carefully checking where these ballots were or where the thumb drives were in three areas where it turned out to be thousands of votes. And President Trump increases margin because of these votes that were just found. That is pure sloppiness. And certainly it was found in this recount that's been done. But those are the things that happen after the election. There's these audits that are done. They call risk limiting audits that are done. Everything is checked. People forget that on election night, those are just unofficial results. And then votes, provisional votes come in, military and overseas votes come in. And in some states, they're not allowed to count mail ballots, absentee ballots until after the election. So that's why we have days to find out where Pennsylvania and Michigan and these other states were going. And the results change as a result of that. But certification, St. Louis County just certified their election yesterday. And the Secretary of State in Missouri has another week to certify Missouri election results. And it's normally that's the point where you can file for a recount or you can file an election contest if you found fraud or if you found discrepancies equal to or greater than the difference between a winning and losing candidate. In Missouri, we have provisions where you'd have automatic recounts if it's within a certain percent, and most states have those provisions too. So it's a process. It's a process, and it's open. It's open here in Missouri. We have Democrats and Republicans required by law. Now, was there transparency issues in some of these jurisdictions across the country? Without a doubt. And I saw that. I saw that, you know, in Detroit, when they only allowed the observers to be, you know, 10, 20 feet away from where things were happening. You know, that's not allowed. You know, they didn't have a Jane Duker there, you know, on the Republican side, making, you know, fighting to make sure that these observers were able to see everything. But that's wrong, too. And so was there fraud? Probably. I mean, probably there was some ballot harvesting in some areas. Was it enough to really overturn the lead that Biden appears to have in these battleground states? Really, no. And I'm sure we're going to find that because people voted early in this election, so many did, that there's going to be somebody's going to have an affidavit that, hey, this person died from COVID a week before the election, and yet their ballot was counted. Well, that's going to happen. But, you know, is it enough difference to make a change in Joe Biden's lead in these battleground states? I really don't think so.
We're visiting with Paul DiGregorio. He is a United States and international election expert. Paul, so one of the complaints or one of the arguments that both Rudy Giuliani and President Trump have made is that we had all this absentee balloting that was going on, and that's where the fraud was. What kind of protections are there with absentee ballots in terms of counting?
Well, in most states, in most jurisdictions, remember, each state has its own rules. So they're all different, you know, but most of them have the rule that when you have to apply for an absentee ballot one way or the other, and you have to send in Missouri, we could have done it. Some people could have done it online or sent in a request. Your signature is checked by a bipartisan team. When you send that ballot back, when you sign it, if you didn't have to get it notarized, or if you did, your signature is checked by a bipartisan team. And they will kick it out if it doesn't check and send it to another team of experts to look at this to determine, you know, if is this the person. And then that's when they open the ballot, if it's valid, to be counted. Now, some states are sloppy and don't have, you know, all the checks that they should. But there's ways to do that. You know, one thing I'll point out here in Missouri, just Missouri, okay? You know, because of COVID, we had new rules in absentee and mail-in voting, and a lot of people voted by absentee in the presidential primary, and of course, in the June election, which substituted the April election, the August primary. We've had probably more than 250,000 people in this state vote absentee. I have not heard one allegation of fraud with any of those absentee ballots that were cast in Missouri. So, I mean, if there was going to be fraud with 750,000 already cast in Missouri by absentee, we'd probably know it by now, or at least somebody would allege it by now. I just haven't seen it. And, you know, does it occur in other states? Has it occurred in Missouri? Has it occurred in St. Louis? It certainly has, and there's been lawsuits filed, and elections have been overturned by absentee voter fraud. But it really has to be a conspiracy, and it really has to be, you know, you really have to check the details of this to prove it. And it can be proven, and it has been proven, but, you know, on a widespread scale, I think not. You know, I really think not.
Our guest is Paul DiGregorio. He has literally been all over the globe supervising, conducting, consulting on elections in countries that may not have had a Democratic election in decades. And he knows voting systems. He knows the importance of the integrity of the ballot. And the last question I have for you, Paul, we are in a place right now where what is inarguable is that there are some many millions of Americans that believe our election system is rampant with fraud and abuse. How concerned are you by that fact?
I'm very concerned, John. Amazing, because this includes family and friend who have been calling me, contacting me, and people from around the country who are concerned about this. And I'm really concerned about it. I mean, I think the best thing that can happen is that people learn more about the process, and that perhaps they, you know, they can understand how it really works. And election officials, the ones I know across this whole country, including here in Missouri, are very transparent about what they do. I mean, show up at the public test the Thursday before the election in your jurisdiction, and you can see the testing that goes on. Learn more about how these devices, the software and hardware, are certified and what standards they're certified against. I mean, it's going to take some time for people to really build trust. I'm afraid that, you know, for the past 4 years, we've had a great deal of people who didn't accept the results of the 2016 election, alleging interference, Russian interference and such. And then now we're going to have a great deal of people across this whole country, millions, who won't trust the results of this election should Joe Biden be the one that the Electoral College affirms on December 12th.
That is Paul DiGregorio. Yeah, I don't know that we could have found a better expert with more experience to discuss these very technical but important questions. Paul, thanks so much for your time. Blessings to you and your family on the Thanksgiving and the upcoming holiday season. Stay safe.
Thank you, John and Mike, and the same to you and yours.
Hey, when we come back, Michael, we're going to visit with the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri, Mike Kehoe. He was born in North St. Louis City. Not a lot of people know that. And he's involved in something very exciting in North St. Louis City. He's going to tell us about it. It's called the Sankofa Unity Center. Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe is next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to Hancock and Kelly Show, sitting in for Mark Reardon. This is our final hour of the Reardon Show.
Then we'll take our finest hour.
And our finest. Then we'll take you into Total Information PM, get you home, get you the traffic and the weather together, of course, every 10 minutes. And then on Friday morning, you can hear us again right here at 8:30. For our normal time slot. And, you know, John, I was aware that Governor Kehoe was from St. Louis. And I realized he went down to Jefferson City and just got a remarkable story in one in terms of what he did in setting up a business. But I had no clue what he is up to here in St. Louis, trying to make St. Louis a better place.
Well, we're going to find out about that. Joining us on the Quiver River Electric guest line is none other than Missouri's Lieutenant Governor, Mike Kehoe. Governor, how are you?
Mike and John, it is great to be on with you guys. I'm doing fantastic today.
So, yeah, for people that may not be as familiar with you, I mean, I would imagine there's, a few people out there who couldn't name the Lieutenant Governor of Missouri.
there's quite a few, actually, John.
Yeah, yeah. Some of them
more
probably
people know Mike Kelly than they do
Mike
Kehoe.
That's a scary thought, Mike Kehoe.
Isn't that scary? Yeah.
So your story began in a little place in North St. Louis called Baden. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, actually, what most people don't know is that at a wee lad, I was actually born in Walnut Park, Missouri. So as you get Walnut Park, part of St. Louis, I should say, and then moved we moved across the tracks, as they would say, to Baton. And that's where my mother raised six kids by herself. And we had a great neighborhood and not a lot materially, but a lot of, a lot of good times, as many people remember growing up in the different parts of St. Louis City. It was a different world back then. So we were fortunate to be able to grow up there. And then I ran into somebody's name that everybody would know, who actually was a policeman with my father, a guy named Dave Sinclair, if you've ever heard of that name before. And he gave me that break washing cars. And as they say, the rest is history. He was very instrumental in my life, kind of became my mentor and got me in the right direction. So I was appreciative and still am of what Mr. Sinclair did for me.
Well, you left a couple of parts out. You left the part out where you started washing trucks, and then you became a truck salesman for Dave Sinclair, and then you became the head of their truck sales department, and then they sent you to Lynn, Missouri, because the Ford dealers in St. Louis owned a van conversion business in the middle of the state that was losing money, and young Mike Kehoe was dispatched to Lynn, Missouri. He turned that business around. It's the third largest ambulance manufacturer in America today. He sold it to the employees and became the youngest Ford dealer in the United States of America, Mike Kehoe Ford in Jefferson City. He's a member of the Automotive Hall of Fame, and all of that started out in North St. Louis.
And I know your slogan. Get you a Mike Kehoe deal.
Everybody loves a Mike Kehoe.
And Mike Kelly, you'll appreciate this. The reason I left all those parts out is because John Hancock just tells my story so much better than I do. He's got a voice for radio.
Yeah, and a face, too.
That's all true. Well, I want to talk about Sankofa. I got this email from you the other day. This is an exciting development that you're involved with in North St. Louis. This is the kind of thing I think that can be transformative for communities like this. Tell us what's going on with Sankofa, what it is, what you all are up to.
Well, sure, John. It's baby steps at this point in time. I mean, I think everybody knows, whether you're a listener in the St. Louis area or other parts of the state or the country, that you know we've got to do something to kind of put a stake in the ground in our urban areas and start saying, What is it that we can do at the simplest and purest of level to try to get involved, to try to just start to make a difference? And that's where, unfortunately, a lot of our problems are happening. In the Walnut Park area, about 35% of the violence that we've had in St. Louis this calendar year has come within blocks of the area we're going to be talking about. But there's a gentleman up there named Darren Seals, who is a former well, I don't know any other way to put it. He wasn't always picture perfect. He probably wouldn't have been at the Hancock Thanksgiving table. Darren's had a lot of challenges in his life and did not always make the right decisions. But a few years ago, he went back to an old church at the corner of Mimica and Emma that his mother had taken to as a child. And the good Lord spoke to him and he said, "I'm going to start making a difference. Instead of selling drugs and running a life of crime, I'm going to start trying to see what I can do to help kids out." So Darren is a incredible person that has literally worked very hard with other members of his community to convert this building and the help of some folks in the St. Louis business community to convert this into a community center. It's called the Sankofa Unity Center now, where he literally has just built kind of an oasis for young kids or teenagers or various folks to come and just get away from maybe an atmosphere that's not healthy for them, to where Darren can talk about his experiences in life and decisions he's made and maybe start trying to make some differences in some people's lives. And Claudia and I have been up there many times. We'll be going again next week. He's got lots of help from people in the business community around the city of St. Louis to just start making that difference. That, you know, one kid told me, I was just telling somebody earlier today that there was an 18-year-old kid when I was up there, said, "Why are you here? Why are you here?" And I said, "Because, you know what, I know there's more than one path to get out of this place, and you only think there's one. And I'm here to tell you there's more than one. And there's some options you can choose, and there's people that want to help you. You just got to be willing to take that help." And so like I said, at the basic of basic levels, it's about food security. It's about telling people that you care about them. It's about telling them that they have options in life other than what they think are their only options. And then trying to, you know, get some of them to get in the right direction. And it will work, and it is working.
You know, what I like about this approach is, you know, it's one thing to kind of, you can do the big brother, big sister thing, and that's great. It's helpful. You're taking a kid and you're mentoring them and so forth. But what they're doing at Sankofa, and what there are several other ministries in the city too,
right?
They are there. They're there every day in the middle of the community, living in the community, working in the community, and they're there every single day. And that is so important to being transformative. And Darren, it sounds like he's committed to this for the long haul.
Oh, he's committed. He's an inspiring person to me. I can tell you that meeting him has made my life much difference. But John, I think that the thing that Darren and myself and anybody else who's involved in this would touch on is what you just said, is that this is a example, but there's lots of other places that if they'll open up some sort of community center or start being involved right in the heat of the battle, right in the middle of where the footprint needs to be. And then if I could make a call out to people in the St. Louis area that are from those inner cities, that grew up in inner city, South City, or down in downtown or in North City, and now have been blessed and have been able to make a difference in life, if they would come back to those neighborhoods and help the Darrens of St. Louis look those kids in the eye and say, "I've been here. I lived here. I rode my bike right there with that yellow caution tape wrapped around that tree. there's a way out, and we can help you make a difference. And do you save them all? No. Do you save half of them? I have no idea. Do you save some of them? You sure do. And I'm telling you, I've seen it. And every time we can make one of those pleas, and I'm making a plea to others like me, men and women who have grown up in that city, get back in there and find those Darrens, find those places in those communities that are trying to make that difference, and see what you can do to help them.
You know, and it's so true, man. I'm involved with a group called Love the Lou, and it's a fellow, Lucas Rugley, and what he did is he moved in. He took his family, bought a house in a drug-infested, crime-infested neighborhood and moved them in. And he's now, they've got a garden down the street that the kids tend. He has all kinds of extracurricular after-school activities in his home. He's gained the trust of his neighbors because he lives there. And they've got a neighborhood watch group in place. They haven't had a homicide on that block in over 3 years. And so yep. you can make that kind of a difference. If folks want to help out the Sankofa Center, is there some place they can go at this point?
Well, we're working under with Michael McMillan and the St. Louis Urban League. And as you know, they're doing incredible things with lots of projects in the community there. So Michael's been nice enough to let our group kind of work underneath his wing, but you can go to the Sankofa Facebook page and you can find out more about that. And as I mentioned to you in the letter I just sent the other day, we've now organized a board that's going to start helping Darren kind of get his, you know, the business part of his plan moving forward. So Joe McKee from Perrick has been an absolute, I can't even tell you what Joe McKee's all done for this building, these people up there. The St. Louis Blues, Chris Zimmerman's been involved. Robert Kirkland used to be with Cisco Food, now with Stanley Black & Decker. Vince Bennett with McCormick Bears and Salazar up there. All, you know, community redevelopment people. They're all been working with us, along with Rodney Boyd, who you know, John, who's a government affairs guy, to kind of get this thing organized and formal so that we can continue to let people help, because we're finding more and more people every day says to us, I heard about this story, what can I do to help? And so we're organizing that as we speak.
Yeah, that's where the answers lie. I don't think they lie with more government programs necessarily, but they lie with people making a difference. He's Mike Kehoe, the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Missouri. Thanks so much for joining us. A guy that's gone from Walnut Park to the Lieutenant Governor's office. A pretty remarkable story. He joined us here on the Quiver River Electric Guest Line. Have a great Thanksgiving with your family, Governor, and we'll see you down the road.
Thank you both. God bless you for having me on. Thank you so much.
Total Information continues after this on KMOX.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
And the audio cut of the day is sponsored, Michael, by the Good Feet Store. Pain relief and comfort to fit any budget. Well, you know the actor Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
You are familiar with the actor.
All right.
So
he's got a line in Dazed and Confused. Do you know the line?
No. Oh, not
know
suitable
it.
For
yeah.
All right, Kara. Let me move on with the radio cut of the day, shall we?
Yeah.
Matthew McConaughey was on the radio with Hugh Hewitt, the radio talk show host, and he was asked if he had a future in politics.
I don't know. I mean, that wouldn't it'd be up to the people more than it would me. I would say this. Look, politics seems to be a broken business to me right now. And when politics redefines its purpose, I could be a hell of a lot more interested.
Oh, all right. Matthew McConaughey thinking about running.
So, you know, I guess now we now live in a society where celebrity is an easy ticket to a political career. And, you know, I look back.
Pretty much any celebrity can become president. We've seen that.
Well, I mean, you know, Ronald Reagan certainly was an actor. Not a great one, but he was an actor and was well known as an actor, a host of the, the GM Theater or whatever it was, theater. And he had a radio show.
Don't forget Kanye West was running president with the help of your Republican friends there.
But then, you know, in more recent vintage,
Jesse Ventura
becoming governor.
Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, and certainly Donald Trump is famous for his television pedigree, hosting for so many years The Apprentice on NBC. And, you know, this celebrity fixation that we have in our culture today has found its way prominently into the political arena. You have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I don't think it's good. And the reason I don't think it's good is that, look, I just like a ball player or a golfer or a teacher learns expertise, politics and politicians have an expertise that comes with them. You have to understand a broad set of circumstances, a little bit of everything. And I just don't know that you get that from someone who's committed their life to acting. Now, you know, who's to know? Some of the more politically active folks out there have been actors in the past, and maybe Matthew McConaughey has that in him. But I worry that we're in this Instagram Twitter world, and I would argue that the platform of Twitter probably did as much to elect President Trump as anything.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. You know, you go back and you look at Ronald Reagan, and he was an actor, yes, but he also was the president of the Screen Actors Guild. And
a union, John Hancock,
yeah,
a union.
That's right.
We're in that union.
We are. And but, you know, to ascend to that height, that's politics,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he had to get elected by the members. They had to have put trust in him. It takes some skill to kind of maneuver. Politics is a skill that people don't, especially legislative politics, being able to get things done in the building, I call it. And not everybody's good at that. You got bomb throwers. There are plenty of them in Capitol Hill. But then you got people who actually can sit down
and broker a deal
and get something done.
Right.
Yeah. And that's a
and
skill.
And that's what's missing.
It is. It's a real skill.
And don't you think that a lot of politicians right now are seeing the world transition? I'm thinking about Lindsey Graham in this instance
yeah.
and potentially Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, where they're starting to realize that probably the most salient way to push their agenda is to get into this celebrity game. And to make yourself constantly relevant in every aspect of our lives. Donald Trump has been a master of that.
He has. And, you know, it seems to me like we have fewer and fewer people that we're sending to office. And maybe it's just a perception. I don't know. But it seems to me that there are fewer and fewer people that we're sending to office that have the kind of requisite, just raw political skills that a Lyndon Johnson had, for example.
Well, and money keeps so many people out of politics, and celebrity is able to cut through without money.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, and they have money.
Right.
He's Michael Kelly. I'm John Hancock. Hey, it's Total Information PM on the Voice of St. Louis. We're going to have traffic. We're going to have weather and sports all coming your way right here on Camo X.
All right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.